welcome to another Bonding Time podcast. I'm Brett Bolton with the Bond Dealers of America. Today we have our monthly installment with Tom Kozlik of Hilltop Securities. Mr. Kozlik, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me back. I appreciate it. There's still a lot to talk about, even though it's just been a couple of weeks since we last did this.
It's been a couple of weeks, but it seems like serious discussions are continuing, but yet we're having the same discussion as we did last month. I believe last time we recorded, it was right before the May numbers were released, and there was some concern about state and local jobs having a long-term impact from this COVID, not depression, but pullback, and maybe some issues such as the Great Recession, and the numbers really never got back up to 100%. Is that still something on your radar as we turn into mid-June here? We're recording on the afternoon of June 16th, so we're still a couple weeks away from the June number as well.
Right. So the state and local government jobs numbers are still well below where they were pre-COVID. They're still 1.2 million below where they were before the COVID crisis occurred. They've come back a little bit in April and in May. We're not expecting them to be negative. And most of that is because of the Rescue Plan Act. We think that the larger fiscal concerns, there's still some fiscal concerns, but there are larger fiscal concerns that could have resulted into additional cuts where the state and local government jobs are concerned. I think that that is something we're not expecting to happen. We're not expecting more cuts. What I think is going to end up happening over the summer is that we will see, you know, some slightly positive numbers. I don't think that we're going to see a real bounce back on the state and local government jobs numbers until at earliest the end of the summer or into the fall. And the reason for that is because a large percentage of the jobs that were lost last year were related to education. And so when employment starts to get ramped up for schools getting back in session in the fall, I think that that is really going to be what it is that starts to allow those jobs to come back. But it's still going to take some time. I mean, it took several years for state and local government jobs to recover after the Great Recession. So let's keep that in mind.
And the reason I wanted to start the conversation there, I know we want to dig into infrastructure and the continued debate up on Capitol Hill and at the White House. News has trickled out over the past few weeks that some Senate Republicans working with a group of Senate Democrats have been pushing for co-fund funding from past to be used as a pay for a broad spending bill focused on infrastructure at the federal level. If that were to end up being a major pay for a $1 trillion, $1.5 trillion package, how detrimental would that be to the state and local recovery in your mind, whether that be state and local jobs or just the entire credit, municipal credit scene? Is that as detrimental as it would seem to me, offset the positive impacts of an infrastructure bill to state and local governments, period?
I think that that would be detrimental. And let me explain why. After the Great Recession, there was some aid that went to state and local governments. Not a lot, but there was some. State and local governments continued to cut their budgets for years after the Great Recession, for years. And the state and local government jobs numbers didn't bottom out until they got to about 19 million. And that was, if I remember correctly, the summer of 2013. So several years after the Great Recession. And then it took another 6 years for those for the state and local government jobs to come back to the pre-Great Recession level. And this is one of the reasons of why it is that the overall economy, or I should say the overall economic recovery after the Great Recession, lagged. Because the fact of the matter is that state and local spending makes up about 11% of GDP. And state and local government jobs, they're about one out of eight jobs in all of the jobs universe. And so this is meaningful. And the fact that it took so long for those numbers to bottom out and then recover absolutely impacted the overall U.S. recovery. And that is one of the big items or one of the big themes that the Treasury Secretary noted when they released the details about the $350 billion for state and local governments. She specifically highlighted that one of the things that policymakers were trying to do is right that wrong that was made after the Great Recession.
And I know that this idea has been roundly, or as far as I've seen, roundly rejected by Democrats and President Biden and the administration to reallocate the funds from the COVID packages. But that gets us into the broader discussion of bipartisanship on infrastructure, or even the struggle of getting a single party bill across the finish line. Again, it's June 16th, and as you and I sit here and discuss this afternoon, there's a new group of 10, or I've even seen a group of 20 senators who are actually putting their minds together to work through this issue. And it really just seems like a circular argument at this time. If we're not going to pull from the COVID allocations to pay for this bill, the Republicans aren't going to raise the corporate tax level from 21% to 25%, even, I don't believe. And Democrats have made their thoughts clear about paying for it with the gas tax. And I don't think the Republicans really want to tie the gas tax to inflation anyways. So on month six, going into month seven of infrastructure debate, I guess what I'm trying to get to here is it's getting to a rather frustrating point. While we're still remaining fairly bullish on muni priorities being passed this year, from your perspective, are we even moving in the right direction at this point? Are these pay-fors becoming too damaging for a bipartisan bill, or are you concerned about even the Democrats being able to get it across the finish line with the budget reconciliation of 50+1 with Joe Manchin of West Virginia, Kristen Sinema of Arizona being so afraid of certain progressive parts of the bill that are being pressed by factions of the House? I guess I'm just going to frame that conversation as, are we moving in the right direction, in your opinion, or should congressional and White House leaders take a step back and maybe press the reset button?
Well, see, that's the thing is, from a big picture perspective, there is consensus from both Republicans and Democrats about the importance of getting something done on infrastructure. Mind you, let's focus on the fact that I said from the big picture perspective. It's when you start talking about the details of what actually is infrastructure. And based on how things have evolved over the last week or so, it sounds like what lawmakers are talking about now is something that what this bipartisan group is talking about now is something that would be $1.2 trillion over 8 years and include about $579 billion of new spending. That would be focused on what folks are calling the more traditional infrastructure spending items like roads and bridges, maybe even some, you know, technology, and then maybe even some of the green infrastructure related items that the president had proposed a couple of weeks ago. That being said, and this is where we get into the problem between both sides, is how is it that they're going to pay for it? And that's one of the things that is or could directly impact the state and local government credit situation. If they, in fact, do happen to repurpose a portion of that $350 billion that has gone to state and or was promised to and or has gone to state and local governments, I think that that is something that at least I would look at it as not a favorable outcome. That being said, it doesn't seem as though the potential for a bipartisan agreement is as serious as what I think folks would like it to be. That being said, it's also several weeks after the president's Memorial Day weekend deadline.
Correct.
Of trying to get bipartisan talks done, right?
Yeah.
That being said, we haven't really heard much from the Democrats. The Democrats for the last 2 weeks have been saying that they were starting to get ready to go through the steps to begin the process of budget reconciliation. But the fact that they haven't really moved forward seems to me that maybe they don't have all of their ducks in the row still.
And that's something I want to hit on too, Tommy. You nailed that. They don't have their ducks in a row. They are working, I believe, this week to pass the Surface Transportation Reauthorization through committee, the INVEST Act. And they can't even seem to get a consensus on what to include in that bill. Richard Neal, the House Ways and Means chairman yesterday, was quoted saying that he doesn't even think they're going to include a tax title in this package, which to me, it just shows a mass confusion, even at the leadership level in the House. What does that mean? I don't know. Do I think it's detrimental to our priorities that there's no tax title in the surface transportation bill? No, that leads me to believe that maybe leadership still thinks they're going to go the budget reconciliation method and try to blow it out with $2+ trillion and include everything in one package. But I think I want to leave with a note here. And again, Richard Neal quoted yesterday speaking on the Senate package, and this can kind of give you a state of mind of where House leadership is. And I quote, "I would prefer bigger. I think this is a once in a career type of opportunity to do what has to be done. We should take advantage of the moment. The public is on our side. The momentum is with us. The president's rescue package is very popular. We've got considerable momentum. We should take advantage of it." So I think he's still looking for that grand slam. I don't think he's looking for a sacrifice bunt or a single, whatever baseball analogy you want to use there. I think, at least in his mind and probably other chairs in the House, they're looking for the grand slam. So I don't know what that means in the short term. I'm looking more big picture, long term to the fall. I still think they're going to go budget reconciliation, $2+ trillion. So anything else you want to touch on today, Tom?
I would mention that McConnell has said that he is, quote unquote, listening and hopeful on a bipartisan infrastructure bill. So I think that there, to me, is a lack of enthusiasm, I think, from certain players. I think that if others were maybe more involved and or pushing harder, I might be a little more optimistic and hopeful. Right. But it's, I'm thinking along the lines of where your head is at. It seems like in that it's more likely that if there is going to be something that gets done, the Democrats are going to have to get it done themselves. But it also seems as though there's a journey there. And I haven't heard recently where it is that the folks in New York are, as it relates to SALT, for example. That's another topic that's going to have to get taken care of and worked out if they want to end up getting something done. So I think that there's a decent amount of wood to chop here.
That is a valid point. And I checked, they had not drawn a firm line in the sand on SALT, but one can imagine that the New York delegation will probably do so at some point this summer. Mm-hmm. All right, Tom. Well, I hope to touch base here with you in a couple weeks, and maybe we'll have a little bit different conversation, a little bit more direction to take our conversation from Capitol Hill. Everybody have a great 4th of July, and we'll touch base here in mid-July.